Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Despite being currently focused on domestic politics, there are consequential and important global events occurring outside of Ireland, the G20 summit being a key event. We're joined now by Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Scott, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
A disparate bunch of leaders, 20 of them, assembling. A bit like the political debate last night on RT with 10 leaders debating. It must be hard to get any kind of consensus.
Yes, very much so, Pat. I mean, you'll have a general agreement that certain issues are important to most of the delegations there. I think climate change is one of the key ones we could talk about. I think we could talk about the ongoing effort after the pandemic to provide for, you know, health and social security. And of course, we've got international crises, deadly international crises, whether it be the Middle East and Ukraine, Russia. But when it comes down to what type of firm collective action you take, there just simply are different economic points of view, different social points of view, and sometimes different political blocks, which means that, you know, these 20 countries that are supposed to be the leading economies in the world come out with a very anodyne and watered down statement.
Now, there were some pictures emerging from Rio of Joe Biden looking particularly bewildered, and he got lost for the leader's photograph. He was missing in action. Then they found him behind a palm tree, they say. But this is the last pre-Trump presidency G20. I'm wondering to what extent he is the ghost at the feast.
I think he's just a ghost, not only at this feast. He's just simply a ghost back home as well. He has been, to be honest with you, since he stepped away from the campaign for re-election. That said, if you pay attention, there are very important developments happening in terms of the Biden administration. One of the most significant being the commitment to allow Ukraine to carry out long-range strikes inside Russia, which I think will have an important symbolic effect. So even though Biden is a lame duck walking, there are still some very important initiatives from those around him in the last 2 months before Donald Trump goes into the White House. Mm.
Now, the importance of those long-range missiles being given the go-ahead for Ukraine to use, is this about establishing territorial benchmarks?
It's about setting up the conditions for negotiations, if there are going to be negotiations. The general position, Pat, is that Russia, of course, is trying to press and seize more territory in eastern Ukraine. But since August, Ukraine has gotten leverage by taking part of this Kursk region in western Russia. And significantly, the U.S. lifting of the ban is only for this region at this point. Ukraine can only use the weapons here. But that means it sort of gives a message to the Kremlin, look, you're not going to have it your own way as you try to annex more than a quarter of Ukraine. And secondly, it's an important symbolic decision. We're on the 1,000th day today of the Russian invasion, and it still shows that although belated and too little, there is still international support for Ukraine's resistance.
But if the use of these ATACMS missiles is limited to the Kursk region, I mean, the looking at some of the diagrams as to how many of the air bases and so on that Ukraine could hit within Russia, there is quite a number of them. Are you saying that they can't have a go at those?
Not at start, not initially, at least not openly. So this is sort of a signal to the Russians, who have been playing on the U.S. banning any strikes inside the country, to sort of keep pushing and pushing Ukraine back. There's always the possibility that the U.S. could say in the next 2 months, look, you're allowed to use the missiles beyond Kursk. But I think even more importantly, what I'm watching for months, the U.S. has banned or vetoed the use of UK-made and French-made missiles by Ukraine. If the U.S. is lifting that veto, where can those British and French missiles be used? That's what we are waiting to see, possibly, because we're keeping an element of surprise against the Russians.
Now, in terms of the Middle East war, is there any consensus there as to what should or could happen?
I mean, Netanyahu is boxed in the Biden administration, just as he's boxed in members of his war cabinet by firing them. You know, the Biden administration, as we have been saying for more than a year, Pat, does not use the lever of military aid to try to limit Netanyahu's open-ended war in Gaza and now in Lebanon. It doesn't use the lever of supporting an unconditional ceasefire. It doesn't even use the symbolic lever of supporting a state of Palestine. So, you know, why should Netanyahu care about what the Biden administration does, especially because Donald Trump's going to give him a blank check from next January?
Now, I suppose all of the G20 will be concerned about one thing, and Biden can offer them little by way of forward thinking, and that is Trump's tariffs. Because if a trade war starts, they'll all be affected, every single one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, we started to say that, you know, they can't really agree on anything. I think almost all of them are going to be very, very nervous about the unpredictability, even the chaos that Trump will bring. Even if he doesn't bring in this global tariff of 15% to 20%, which will hit us hard in Ireland, by the way, it's just the fact that he could do it at any moment. He could do it by just simply going on social media. And because Congress, he has the executive power, he's not checked by Congress on this, that possibility of turmoil means you have this sort of Damocles over your head as you're trying to make planning for your own economies for the year and say 3-5 years down the line.
So that is the sort of Damocles. But is there any sense that Trump will be educated by all of those key economists who warned him against tariffs earlier during the campaign, and he turned a blind eye to them? Because, you know, I love that word, tariffs. That was one of his mantras, and he wasn't going to give that up in the campaign. Now that he's won, will anyone talk sense into him?
I think you know the answer to that. I think we start off with the fact that at the Economic Club of Chicago back in October, when he faced questions on tariffs, which he couldn't answer, Trump just snapped. He snapped at the Bloomberg CEO asking the questions, and he snapped at the audience, "Oh, you economists never get anything right." So Trump doesn't heed anyone else's position to start off with. Now, what you're asking me is, can there be adults in the room whom he'll appoint that could bring him advice? I'm not sure about that. A lot of the adults in the room were fired during his first term, including the head of the Council of Economic Advisors. And, of course, his threat to fire the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. And what has been interesting in the last few days is that there is an absolute savage fight within the Trump camp over who the Treasury Secretary will be. And they're not fighting it over terms of who has the most expertise. It's in terms of who will have basically be Trump's biggest buddy. You know, will it be Howard Lutnick, who's the CEO from Cantor Fitzgerald? Would it be another New York hedge fund advisor? Or could they actually try to deal with someone sensible like Jay Clayton, who is the former head of the Securities and Exchange Council?
Well, we are not surprised that there are so many inquiries as to buying property in Ireland from Democratic states after what happened with the Trump victory. But anyway, the G20 is wrapping up in Rio. And Scott Lucas, thank you very much for joining us on the line.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.